Amen. What a blessing. We're going to miss Brother AJ when he moves out to West Texas. But, you know, I was thinking, who is going to wear the gingerbread man suit on Christmas? So, is everyone doing okay? Everyone have a good week? Praise the Lord. I missed my family. And then my wife called me and told me about a conversation she had with our children. And after that, I didn't miss them so much. But so one of the kids, and he knows who he is, but no one else does. So he was talking to Michelle, and he said, "You know, it must be difficult. You know, you married Dad, and he's so old that half his looks are already gone." And she said, "No, son, I think your father's handsome. I like him. I think he looks good." And he said, "Really? Huh?" And so I didn't want to come home after that. But I came home, and it was good to see everyone. Good to come home, and I'm very thankful the Lord gave me somebody to go through life with, you know? And thankful He gave me a wife, and thankful He gave me children, so pray I'll be a good steward of that. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to turn a couple places in Hebrews chapter 11, but we're going to start off teaching or preaching 23 through 29. So we'll read that place, and then you'll sit back down, and then we'll read some verses in 10 and also in 12. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you, black Bible, and if you don't have one at home, you can take that. We want you to have a copy of the Word of God. We don't want anybody to be without a Bible and a way to know what God says. And so if you don't mind, get your Bible, or if you need to, you can get the one in the pew, and take it and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start reading in verse 23, and then you can sit back down. So if you don't mind, let's stand, honor the reading of God's Word, 11 and verse 23, and then we will read through 27. Hebrews 11, 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Verse 27, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured," and this is what I want you to see and get. This is what we're going to be talking about. By faith he forsook Egypt, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured. How did he endure? He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that's talking about the Lord. So let's pray. Brother, if you'll ask the blessing on the sermon, and as soon as he's done, we'll be seated, and I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37.
Dear Lord, we come unto you in prayer this morning, God. We want to give you thanks, God, for your mercy and your grace, Lord, and your love towards us. And we just give you honor and glory, Lord, for giving our pastor safe travels, Lord, and bringing him back home. We just pray, God, that you can open up our hearts this morning, Lord, that we may be attentive to the sermon this morning, God, and just pray the service and bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You see, sometimes the Lord rewards you. Sometimes He gives you the paycheck at a much, much later day. He says, so you need to have patience. In verse 37, He said, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. That's the Lord. That little while has been going on for several thousand years now, but it's still true. He's coming in a little while. Then He says this, now the just shall live by faith. How do we see the Lord? How do we live by faith? How do we wait for the Lord and wait for the promise of the things that He has told us about in the Word of God if we live for Him? How do we do that in a practical way? How do we see Him who is invisible and be able to endure what's going on? How do we do that? The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Now look at 11 and verse 1. It says this, faith is the substance. What is the substance? It's material. It's something that you can hold on to. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So, what is faith? It's evidence, it's substance. It's something that you hold on to while what you're looking for, you can't see it, but you're holding on to the faith until you do see it. That's the evidence, that's the substance. You say that's confusing. Okay, think about this. Say you're in London Harbor, and it's about dark, and you're on an old wooden ship, like a Pirates of Caribbean ship. Okay? Now you're on this ship, and the fog starts to roll in, the clouds come in, the rain starts to come, and the wind starts to blow, and it keeps blowing you closer to the rocks. And if it blows you against the rocks, you're going to sink. So you know what you do? You go to the fore part of the ship, and you throw out an anchor. You throw the anchor down, and the anchor goes down, and I don't know how deep it is there, but it goes all the way down, and the water's dirty there, and you cannot see it. And when the anchor hits the bottom, you tie the ship to the anchor. Okay? Now the fog is coming, the wind is blowing, the rain is coming, and it's getting dark, and the rocks are there, and now you can't see the rocks, and you can't see the anchor. You're on the ship, you can't see the anchor, but you know what faith is? Faith is what connects the ship to the anchor. Faith is the rope that connects the ship to the anchor. Faith is the rope. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what connects us to the Lord. Faith is what connects us to heaven. Faith is what connects us to... faith is what Moses used to see Him that was invisible. Right? We have faith, we have evidence, we have substance. We can't see the anchor, but we have the rope and we know it's attached. So no matter how dark it gets and how much fog comes in, we're not scared of the rocks because our ship is tied to the anchor. That's what 11 in verse 1 means. Faith is the substance. It's the evidence. It ties our life to heaven. It ties our life to Jesus Christ. It's how we get saved. In this passage, you'll notice that Paul keeps making declarative statements about faith, and then he illustrates them. So faith is the evidence, and it's the substance, and then he says, by this faith, the elders obtained a good report. And then he starts talking about them. And then look down to verse 6. Look at verse 6. And how that is illustrated as the verses before. That's how they held on to it. That's how Noah built the boat. He had the evidence. He had the substance. And then look at 6. It says this. 11 in verse 6. But without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't be tied to the Lord and have an anchor if you don't have evidence or substance that keeps your life tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. People with no faith are not tied to God. That's why they end up on the rocks. That's why they're moved when the storm comes. That's why their life is a mess, because they don't have the evidence and the substance that keeps their life tied to God. That's why they wreck in the storm. We have faith. And then I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So He gives you all these people and the great things they've done and how they pleased God by faith. Then He says this, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," look, all these people could stand up and witness or testify to you that putting your faith in God will help you do great things. It will help you hope in and trust in and make it through life well if you put your faith in the Lord. There's a great cloud of witnesses. And if you read their Bible, you find out that the life of faith is a good life. You find out the life of faith is a profitable life. You find out that the life of faith is worth living. We have a great cloud of witnesses that says, live the life of faith, it's worth it. And then He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Watch it. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know who began our faith? The Lord. You know who will finish our faith one day? The Lord. Why? Because He won't be visible, invisible anymore, but He will become visible. We will know even also as we are known. We know heaven's there because we have faith, but one time He's going to finish that faith and we're going to be standing right there. But we have faith that Jesus is there, but one day that faith is going to be finished and we're going to behold the Lamb of God. And He said, looking unto Jesus, He said, that's how you live the life of faith. Moses said it this way, if you look back at that verse, verse 27, he endured as seeing Him who is what? Invisible. That's how he endured. So you know what Moses teaches us in this passage? We're just going to look at Moses. He teaches us how to practically work out our faith in our life day to day as believers. He connects how faith works in our life as believers. He connects how to see Jesus in the different trials of life and how to put our faith in Him and our trust in Him to make it through these things. We all have problems. Some of us this morning, some of you this morning, you're very burdened. I can tell. I don't know if there's, I don't know what happened. I just know that there's some heavy burdens here this morning. I know there's some big questions here this morning. I know there's things that you don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to have to decide eventually about some things. And all that stuff is going on. You have questions. So how does faith come into play with all of those things? Number one, faith sees the providence rather than the problem. Providence is God. It's what God's doing. It's how God's working. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born. Now, the life of faith that Moses lived began with his parents. He had to make that faith his own. But you just remember that when you are living the life of faith, you can begin something that God will finish and come to completion in your children. Moses saw faith first in his parents. It says, but look at what he says here. That's not what I wanted to point out. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a what kind of child? Proper, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. what is that talking about? When he was born, they saw he was proper and they weren't afraid of the king's commandments, so they hid him 3 months. If you ever go back and read Exodus chapter 2, you know what you're going to find out? That they were all down there in Egypt, and Pharaoh was in charge, and he put Joseph in charge, and Joseph died, and Pharaoh died, and then another party took the White House, it took the throne, and the party that took the throne did not know Joseph, and the people that lived the life of faith were not special to him. And he didn't care about them. And he saw that they were increasing, and he said, they're going to take over. And eventually we're going to be the minority, so we have to stop this. We don't like what they're doing. We don't like their growing. We don't like that God is blessing them. We're going to stop it. So he enslaved them, and he made them serve with rigor, and he did everything he could to keep their growth down and squash them. Well, they kept growing. God kept blessing them, so he gave a commandment, and he said, listen, when the male child's born, he told the midwives, you kill them. I want you, every child that's born, I want you to do a partial birth abortion, and as soon as they're born, I want you to kill them. And they kept growing, and he said to the midwives, what's going on? And they said, we can't help it. When we get there, the kids are already born, and that's not legal in our country to do that. And so you know what Pharaoh did? He changed the law, and he said, every male child that's born, even if he comes out proper, and if he comes out goodly and well-formed and he's okay and he's born when you get there, then you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to go and throw him in the river. Now, so what is the problem here? The problem means that when Moses was born, legally they were supposed to throw him in the river. Now, that commandment was given before she was with child with Moses. That commandment was given after Miriam was already born and after Aaron was already born. And then they give the commandment. And then she becomes with child. She's going to have a baby. And in 9 months, I'm going to have a baby. And if that baby is born and it's a boy, guess what happens? Gets thrown in the river. If that baby is born and someone finds out and it's a boy, we'll die. So I don't know what you would have been doing, but here's what I would have been doing. God, my wife is with child, and I love my son Aaron and Miriam. You know, thank you for that. And it would just be so nice for Miriam to have a sister. And God, I'm better with girls, and I think that I'm a better father when it's a girl. And God, I really believe your will is, you know, I think it would be best for our family if we had a girl. Is that reasonable? They were thinking about it. Because when he was born, they hid him. So they knew about that. That was on their mind. It was a pressing thing. And when Moses comes out, he's not a girl. And when Moses comes out, they have a problem. They have a big problem. But you know what happened? It says, by faith they saw that he was a proper child. You know what proper means? Good. Well formed. This is a good thing. By faith, they saw providence rather than the problem. By faith, they saw that even though we would have had it happen differently, and even though this is maybe not what we prayed for, and this is not what we wanted, and even though this puts us in a bad situation and a dangerous situation, and this puts us in a situation where we have to hide this, it's good. It's proper. That takes faith. Do you have a problem? Can you look past the problem and look up to the throne and see Him that is invisible and understand that because you have Moses, God is not trying to sabotage your life. God doesn't hate you. He's not trying to kill you. He's actually trying to bless the entire world. Can you look past the problem? Can you look past what is going on? Can by faith you see Him who is invisible, is proper and good? Faith makes the boy okay. It does. Faith makes the boy okay. Faith makes the implication of unanswered prayers okay. Faith makes the cancer okay. Not what I wanted. Faith makes the marriage troubles, the difficulties, the... Listen, without faith it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible. Look, we all have problems. We all face these things. These trying, gut-wrenching, just terrible circumstances. And if God doesn't want you do what you want, it has terrible implications. I mean, I can lose Miriam and Aaron and my whole family if I keep this baby. But God, by faith, they saw that it was proper. Just look beyond Pharaoh's throne and see the throne of God. By faith, he was hid. By faith, they took what God gave them and hid it. But you know what happens when God gives you something that grows to the point where you can't hide it any longer? When someone gets saved, you know what they do? When they're born again, when Moses was born, he was hid. You know what most people do when they get saved? They hide it. But it grows. And it gets to the point where you can't hide it. And you see it as proper. This, what God has done in my life, what He's doing, what He's given me, I can't hide it. It's too good. Faith enables you to see things differently. And then, here's another principle. Faith sees the commandment rather than the cost. Look at verse 23. Again, it says, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That didn't mean that they did not have a negative emotional response. That means they did not obey it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. The word fear is, if you fear the king's commandment, you obey it. If you fear the Lord, you obey Him. They didn't do that. They feared God. They feared God. They saw the commandment rather than the cost. Not the commandment of Pharaoh, but the commandment of God. And they knew that God did not want them to kill that child. They knew that they had a greater fear in God, in the Lord, than in Pharaoh. They knew that disobedience to their boss, their earthly king, came with a cost. And the potential was the loss of life. But by faith, even though the Ten Commandments were not given, they knew that God did not approve of Abel being killed by Cain. They knew that God did not want them to take the child that He gave them and cast it in the river. And it didn't matter what man said. God wanted them to keep Moses and protect Moses. And if you read the story, you know that when God gives you a child, you know what they said? We ought to obey God rather than man. You know, God delegates a lot of things. And He gives man a lot of authority in different areas. And He gave the king authority. He gave Pharaoh authority. He gives a father authority. He gives a husband authority. He gives a pastor authority. He gives a mother authority. He gives your boss authority. And for better or for worse, He gives them that authority But one thing He never delegates to them is morality. You cannot legislate morality. And I don't care what the government says, and I don't care what Congress says. God says that it is wrong to kill the fruit of your womb. God says that it's wrong to kill a child. And if you're here and you've had the unfortunate circumstances of doing that and having an abortion, God wants to help you with that. He wants to forgive you. He wants to help you. He loves you. He cares about you. He cares about the child, and it doesn't matter what the government says. God says no. And it doesn't matter what the government says. It's not okay for Timmy to marry Timothy. God does not legislate. He does not delegate morality. You know, when they did the Nuremberg trials, there were people that were hung and put to death that tried to use the excuse that says it was orders, I was ordered to do it. And they held them responsible for the same reason God will hold them responsible. You have a conscience, and you know that it's wrong, and it would be better for you to die than carry out that order. It would be better for you to die than hold a machine gun up and kill those children and kill those families. You knew that was wrong. You know what they knew? It would be better for me to die than kill my son. And you know what faith does? It looks at the boss, and it looks at the king, and it looks at the husband, and it looks at the father, and it says, it looks at the mother, and it says, Mom, I love you. Daddy, I love you. And I will obey you in every area, but I won't steal. Honey, I love you, and I'm going to honor you, and I'll obey you. But I'm not going to do this. This is not what God allows. And it takes faith to do that. And every one of us in here, at times in our life, we're going to have to see Him who is invisible when we get to that judgment. And we're going to have to stand before Him, and we're going to have to give account to Him. And no excuse down here is going to work. By faith, we're going to obey God, and we're going to listen to God. Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than man. Moses' parents knew that their death would not be an excuse that the Lord would be willing to accept. Faith looks at the commandment of God rather than the cost associated with it. And the movie Facing the Giants, I think one of those Christian movies, I thought this illustration was good. There was a man that had a great need. And they said, we will promote you to this position if you mess these numbers up on the box and turn these reports into us. And he said, even though I need it, I can't do that. I'm a Christian and I won't do that. And they said, good. You're the man for the job because you can't be compromised. And God's looking for people that can't be compromised. And it takes faith to do the right thing. Faith sees the conviction rather than the concession. Look in verse 24. Kind of along the same lines, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know what Moses knew? He wasn't Pharaoh's daughter. He wasn't the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew that. He knew that when they took him away from his mother and put him in the palace. He knew that when they took him away from his father and his sister and his brother Aaron, and they took him and put him in the palace and taught him in all the ways of the Egyptians. He sat there in school and he said, I'm not Pharaoh's daughter. But when people said things to him, oh, you're the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah, that's me. And he was called that just by concession. It says this, look at that, by faith Moses, when he was come to years. You know what happened to Moses? He grew up. And he said, I'm not going to pretend any longer. Listen, faith matures. And when your faith matures, you have a responsibility. You have to be authentic. And you have to be who you really are. And you know what Moses said? He said, I'm tired of pretending. No longer will I be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And you know what that does not mean? That does not mean Moses, when they said to him, hey, Moses, you're the son of Pharaoh's daughter, hey, don't call me that. That's not what it means. You know what it means? It means when he was 40 years old, according to Acts chapter 7, that God put it in his heart to go see his brethren, to deliver them. God put it in his heart that you are going to be the one to deliver these people. He put it in his heart when he was 40 years old. He didn't do it till he was 80, but God put it in his heart at 40 years old. And he thought they would understand that God put him here to deliver them. You can read that in Acts chapter 7. He's 40 years. He's come to years. You know what it means when he came to years? It means he reached the point to where he's going to stop pretending and be who he really is. And that usually happens around 40. You know what happens to all these kids that are growing up in church? One day you're going to stop pretending. If you are, in fact, one of the people of God, you're going to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and you're going to be a Christian, and you're going to live for God. But if you are, in fact, an Egyptian, there will come a day, and by Egyptian I mean the lost, not of God, not wanting to serve God. If you are, in fact, an Egyptian, you know what's going to happen one day? You're going to come to church and you're going to say, I'm not going to pretend any longer. This is not who I am. I'm the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And you will go out there and you will live like the world and you will live for the world because you want to be authentic. God wants us to be authentic. He wants us to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he's 40 years old and he's walking out there. And you know what he sees? He sees an Egyptian smiting the people of God. And God put it in his heart to deliver them. And you know what he said? It starts today. And he kills the Egyptian. And hit him in the sand. The next day, he sees two of God's people fighting with each other. And he said, this is not right. And the one said, who made you a judge over us? Are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian the other day? And Moses said, surely this thing is known. And it said, Pharaoh sought to slay him. You know, the day that he killed that Egyptian was the day he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know how he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? He stopped being the son of Pharaoh's daughter and he started being the person that God made him to be. And he started doing what God put in his heart to deliver Israel. You will be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter until you stop being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He put himself in a position where he burnt the bridges. He couldn't go back because they said, you, we thought you were an Egyptian the whole time. We thought you took on our culture, but that's not who you really are. You are a Hebrew. You are a slave. You are the people of God. Stop pretending. Faith sees the conviction rather than the concession. Do you know what God wants from you? Evil prevails when good men do nothing. I remember reading a story in a preacher book about a man in the Ukraine that was a soldier and he didn't want to fight the battle. And I don't know who was fighting who. I think it was during the Bolshevik Revolution, somewhere in there. But all I know is he deflected from whatever army he was supposed to be in. And in their barn behind the house, they had a big old manure pile. And he dug a hole and he crawled in there. Someone brought him food. And after a couple years, someone heard him shout. And he comes running out from under that manure pile. And he said, I want to live! And if that means dying in the battle, that means dying in the battle. I want to live! Be authentic. Stop hiding under the manure pile. You know what faith does? It sees value rather than vanity. Look at verse 25. Choosing. That's a good verb, isn't it? Choosing. You know, it's amazing how much the Bible comes to life when you just pay attention to the grammar in the Bible. Brother Skelly was up there preaching, and I said, man, how do you get these messages? And he's like, well, when you look at it, you want to pay attention to the grammar. What is the declarative statement? Like, what is the colon and semicolons? And look at the verbs and look at the participle. I said, I'm going to shoot myself. I said, I don't know what a participle is. How do you get God from a participle? It's pay attention to the grammar. And so I'm like, well, at least I know what a verb is, okay? Choosing rather. You know what he saw? He said, choosing rather. You know what rather means? It's your druther. I want that instead. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what he wanted, but that's not what happened. He went off in the backside of the desert because God had him go there. But here's what happened. Moses walked up to the menu in the line to order. And on the menu, it said slavery, but authenticity. You can be called a child of God, but you're going to serve with rigor and you're going to be a slave and people are going to whip you and beat you. But you'll be with the people of God and be who you really are. And he saw that on the menu. And then on the other side on the menu, it said this. Stay in Egypt and stay in the palace. And we know, God knows you're a Hebrew. Other people don't need to know. And you'll get as much as you want to eat. And you'll have comfort and luxury. And all you have to do is just deny who you really are. And you can stay there. And you know what Moses did? He looked at the menu and he says, I want affliction with the people of God. I would rather, I'm going to choose that. I'm going to take that. I will pay for that. I want that. And he ordered that off the menu because that's what he wanted. I want to be with the people of God. I want to stop denying it. And I don't care if there's a price. And I don't care if I have to suffer. And I don't care if it costs me something. That is what I want. I don't want the pleasures of sin. He said, you see, when you have faith, you know what happens to you? Your values change. When you have faith, you don't calculate the same way as other people. When you have faith, you see Him who is invisible, and you value what He values, and He does not value sitting in a palace in Egypt acting like you're the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see that He values suffering and being for God. Not intentionally making yourself and afflicting yourself, but being willing to pay the price for who you are, being willing to stand at a stake, and they say, do you deny the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you do, you can get off of here, and if you don't, I'll burn you. And the people of God stand there with the kindling all around them tied to the stake. And they say with a smile on their face and love in their heart and excitement in their voice, I am a son of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I cannot, and I will not, and I'll never deny it. So light it! That's what they said. And they lit it, and they started singing to the glory of God. And the last voice you heard that came out of the flame was praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you have faith, your values are different. Threatening you with the job and threatening you with this and threatening you with that doesn't matter because you see Him on the throne. You value what He values. He said this, the people of God suffer rather than sin. His people change. Who are your peeps? And then he said, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Esteem, he valued, he counted the reproach greater riches. In other words, that they came to, he said, reproach is what, so if Moses had a safe and somebody came to Moses and they say, let me see what's in your safe. And you're standing there and you're like, man, he spent a lot of time around Pharaoh. And he spent a lot of time in the palace there and a lot of time in Egypt. And he knew all the inner workings of the government and he knew about these treasure cities. I wonder what is in his safe. And you'd stand there and Moses would turn the dial on his safe and you're like, I wonder what it is. And he brings out a newspaper clipping and it says, the fool named Moses gave up his position in the palace to be called a slave. And Moses would hold it up and say, this is the most valuable thing that I have. This is what's valuable. You know what Jesus said? Blessed are you when men will persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. He said, rejoice in that day and be exceeding glad, for great, great is your reward in heaven. You know what Moses did? He looked past Pharaoh and the treasure cities and he looked all the way up and he saw him who was invisible. And he saw value instead of vanity. What do you see when you look around? And then lastly, faith sees the promise rather than the prolonging. I want you to look down to verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. If you read Exodus chapter 2, he was afraid. He fled and he feared greatly. Okay? So, not fearing the wrath of the king is he didn't obey. He didn't stay. He obeyed God instead of Pharaoh. For he endured seeing him who is invisible. He endured. What does that mean, he endured? That means he went through the desert for 300 miles from Egypt to Midian. And he went to the most terrible place that you could go on earth, called the backside of the desert. He left the life of luxury in the palace. The people that God put it in his heart to deliver rejected him. And for 40 years, he lives apart from his people and both of the cultures he had known. And he lives in a very undesirable place. And he becomes a shepherd. And he marries one of the priests of Midian's daughters. He endured for how long? For 40 years. 40 years. 40 years on the backside of the desert, he endured because he saw who was sitting on the throne. And he knew what God put in his heart. And he knew that God chose him. And he might not have figured it all out. Somebody said when he didn't want to go, he's slow of speech, he probably forgot the language because he'd been there for 40 years. In the backside of the desert, not speaking those languages. But maybe Moses, it says here that he endured. It didn't say in the New Testament that he was there because he was running. It didn't say it was there because he was there for the reason Jonah was and he ran from the will of God. It says in the New Testament that he endured for 40 years. How? Seeing him who is invisible. Listen, life comes with a lot of problems. It does. It comes with a lot of trying, heartbreaking, and devastating circumstances. It comes with a lot of things that have to be endured. It comes with a lot of positions and things that happen to you that can never be fixed physically in this earth. Diseases that can't be reversed. People that have been taken away that can't be brought back. Oh, man. There's blessings. And there's a whole host of blessings. And God is good and He's always good. But there's also a lot of trials. And there's a lot of enduring. And if we're ever going to make it through this life, we have to see Him who is invisible. And we have to want God more than anything else. And one day, He will take us out of this world and He will free us from all those terrible circumstances and our faith will become sight. But practically, day to day, you cannot endure if you don't see Him who is invisible. You can't. If I can have the piano player come forward, I'm going to start to close. And I just want to ask you to just examine your life, examine your heart. And God spoke to everyone in here a different way. He spoke to me a different way than He spoke to you. But all I want you to do is be able, by faith, to see Him that is invisible. I want you to bring God in the circumstance, in the situation, and look past this and see God. Now, if you can bow your head and close your eyes and just start talking to the Lord, what does He want you to do? What is He trying to teach you? How is looking to Jesus going to help you? Is it problems? You need to see God instead of the problems? Is it His commandment instead of the cost? Is it conviction? You need to stand up instead of just giving all these concessions? Is it He wants you to change your value system this morning and value Him? Or is it looking to Him and the promise instead of the prolonging? Where does God want your faith to mature? Whatever you're facing that's next, that's ahead, can you stop looking at it and look at Him? The altar's open. If anyone, you can talk to the Lord there or here. But just do business with the Lord. Lord, we come before You. And I want to thank You so much, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I want to thank You for faith and teaching us how to exercise it in our life, Father. And I pray You take these truths and be a blessing to someone here. In Jesus' name, amen.